This is Page Turners, the broadcast book club brought to you by Muncie Community Schools on WMUN, the talk of Muncie, 92.5 FM, 1340 AM, and Alexa say, play WMUN. Let's join the story now with your hosts, Cam and TC.
Good morning. Welcome to Page Turners. How are you this morning, Cam?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. I'm very excited for today's episode. It's been a journey. This is one of the first people I personally asked to have on the show, and obviously it didn't happen last year, but it's happening now.
Patience, baby, patience.
Yep. This is a good one. You want to tell them who we got?
We have Bill Moseley this morning, and I'm so happy. Bill was such a nice guest.
It was so fun.
It was funny, and it's nice that we get to have Zoom conversations now with some people.
Yeah, so we get to see him and hear him.
Yeah.
Let's jump right into it.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good to see you again, Thomas. Please don't mind me eating the rest of my waffle that I made myself.
Oh, man, I didn't know it was snack time, too. I would have brought snacks.
Well, I'm in California, where 11 o'clock is our early breakfast.
Second breakfast.
First for me.
So how did your comic, Cursed Cornfield, come to be? Where'd the inspiration come from?
Well, it's come from a bunch of different places. First of all, the artist Simon Kudrensky, who does Spawn and Batman. I met him many years ago when he was just a kid. I was at a convention in Essen, Germany, and he was and still does live in Poland. And I think we were like, you know, maybe through Facebook or some social media. He, you know, was a young fan and had, I think he had done some art work and showed and posted it. And I thought, man, this guy is great. So I invited him up to the show in Essen and put his name on the list. He got in, he, you know, had a dinner. I mean, he basically, it was like, you know, that was his exciting moment. And so we've stayed friends ever since. He also illustrated, I wrote a screenplay called Devil Deer, and about man-eating deer in northern Wisconsin. And Simone did an illustration of it. I mean, it was kind of a Cliff's Notes of Devil Deer, but nonetheless. And, you know, as time went on, I don't know who suggested it. I think maybe he suggested it, it being the Cursed Cornfield comics. And so what I did was I took the character Onions from an album I did with Buckethead, and the song is called Onions Unleashed. And so I took that character and made him into a kind of horror host, and wrote this story about, you know, I don't want to give it away. Well, I guess it's not really that big a secret since it's been out for a couple of years. But anyway, I wrote the story, and Simone showed me how to make, you know, how pages broke down in comic books, and obviously the speeches of the character, the descriptions, all of those different things. So I sent that off to him, and he whipped up the amazing Cursed Cornfield comic. And I think there's only about 300 of them that were printed in the world. So, you know, hang on to them. I'm looking forward to another edition of it, but we'll see, because he's a very busy guy now in huge demand. I know he does stuff with Steve Niles and these in the different comic books. So, but I was very fortunate that A, to work with Simone, and also B, that it turned out so cool.
It's fitting, because here in Indiana, we're surrounded by cornfields.
Literally.
Yeah. Hey, well, I'm from Illinois, so yeah, I know.
Yep. So you're familiar with the cornfields. Mm-hmm. Well, and I love seeing that there is a demand for comics and comic artists and that sort of thing really come in full swing again. So it gets me all excited.
Oh, good.
Yeah. As an avid comic reader myself, and Thomas and I have talked about it a lot, seeing other people, newer people, older people, younger people, everybody getting back into it gets me all excited.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I mean,
he is amazing. And and if it weren't for Simone, I don't know if I would have, you know, it wasn't like a passion of mine, but it was a great idea that he probably brought up. And I just said, wow, let's do it. That'd be very cool. So, you know, and it's funny, speaking of comics, because I was talked into doing one of those where you take your comic book and you sign it, and then some person goes through it and then seals it in plastic.
Oh yeah, you did like the grading.
Graded, yes.
Yeah. So
I have a 9.8. You know, I don't even know the 2.2 it is. I don't know what happened there, but I have a 9.8 in sealed in plastic, and somebody said, you know, yeah, you should sell it for like $300, and I'm thinking that's insane. But anyway, I do have that. I have a 9.8.
Oh,
the only
I would,
one.
Yeah, I would just sit on that for a while because who knows.
Yeah.
You know, it could go from $300 to $3,000.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, as soon as I hear the geese, as we say in Illinois, that's basically, you know, moved on to a higher plane. Mm-hmm. You know, that, yeah, it could be worth some.
Yeah.
Of course, now I'm not going to be around to enjoy it, but maybe my kids. What a legacy. Sell dad's comic book.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are people who sell tchotchkes all the time. What's a comic book, if not a tchotchke you can read?
Yeah, that's right. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, we did touch a little bit on a character named Onions. So what inspired that character from inception? Because that seems like a really interesting kind of name for a character in and of itself, and then to spiral it into a comic. How'd you get there?
That is courtesy of Buckethead. I met Buckethead in Los Angeles many years ago, probably 1990. He was a friend of an actor named Gil Gale, who now is a producer. And Gil and I starred in a play in Los Angeles called Timothy and Charlie, about Timothy Leary and Charles Manson. And it was a crazy two-act play. There were the Manson dancers dancing around and doing kind of a fun dance, like a tarantella dance, you know, but, you know, Sharon Tate, you know, it was like a pretty crazy. But Buckethead apparently was friends with Gil Gale, and Gil had invited Buckethead to come to one of the performances of Timothy and Charlie. Well, it turned out Buckethead was a big Chop Top fan from Texas Chainsaw 2. And so Buckethead showed up after the play. He came backstage. I met him, and I didn't know who he was or anything, but he wanted to, he invited me to come down to his place in Santa Monica, California, here right next to LA, to go off on some of his music. So I thought, you know, hey, why not? So I brought my bongos. I remember a cup of, you know, McDonald's coffee or something like that, and showed up, and we jammed, and it went really well. That was kind of the birth of Cornbugs. We didn't know that it was a band, and we didn't call it Cornbugs till much later. But we jammed. It went well. And Buckethead was working with a music producer in New York City named Bill Laswell. And Bill was kind of a famous underground music producer and was producing Buckethead's album. It was originally supposed to be his Sony album called Giant Robot. And so Buckethead invited me to New York City to appear on a couple of tracks of Giant Robot. And so I flew there, and I was, and he was thinking that I was going to, you know, show up and record as Chop Top. Well, before I left for New York, I called a friend of mine, an old college friend who was teaching copyright law at Loyola Marymount. And I said, hey, Jay, how's it going? Jay Dougherty is his name. And I said, hey, man, how's it going? Say, yeah, I just was wondering, like, Buckethead has invited me to New York. I'm flying there. He wants me to, you know, appear as Chop Top on his album. You know, can I do that? Do I need permission or whatever? And he said, well, you know, that is a copyrighted character. It was in a movie. So, you know what I would suggest? I would suggest that you honestly come up with a different character. I went, oh, okay, thanks a lot. So I hung up, and I was thinking, what? That's my character. What do you mean come up with a different character? I mean, that was, it's kind of like somebody saying, you know, you're in a lifeboat. Why don't you just get a different lifeboat? You know, I was like, wait a minute. There's none in there. I don't see any. So It's my character.
Our conversation with Bill Moseley continues after this break.
This is Page Turners, the broadcast book club brought to you by Muncie Community Schools on WMUN, the talk of Muncie, 92.5 FM, 1340 AM, and Alexa, say play WMUN. Let's continue the story now with your hosts, Cam and TC.
Hello, this is Bill Moseley, and you're listening to Page Turners. So I was really fretting it. And I was, because I was going to go to New York no matter what. I wasn't going to tell Buckethead that. And so, because I wanted to go to New York and I wanted to be a rock star. So on the plane ride there, I was kind of coming up with, trying to come up with a new character. And I was thinking about a farm, which kind of, you know, finally manifested itself in the Cursed Cornfield comics. But I was thinking of a farm. I was thinking about, I imagined little hands skittering around. I call them ranch hands, and just these disembodied little hands, you know, and I was thinking Scarecrow, because Illinois and the corn. But I was wondering what to call this character. And I thought Scarecrow. So I came up with the name Shoebird, like Shoe, you know, Shoebird, Scarecrow. And so that was all I had, really, that and the ranch hands. And I showed up at the hotel where Buckethead was staying, and while he was recording this album, we talked a little bit, you know, because I checked in. He'd come back from a hard day of, you know, playing on his record, and he was happy to see me, and he said, so ready to go tomorrow as Chop Top? And I said, well, you know, there's one little problem. I said, I don't really have the copyright, and I was advised not to do that. So I can't do Chop Top. And I've never, you know, they talk about people's faces darkening when they're, you know, they're upset. And I'd never seen that before until I saw Buckethead's face. It literally darkened because he was very upset. He had this plan. And I said, but, you know, hey, you know, and I just saw my whole rock and roll career, you know, disappearing, fading, dying, turning black. And I said, but, you know, I've come up with this idea, you know, ha, 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 you know, and, you know, I've got this Scarecrow character. I call him Shoebird. And, you know, that didn't quite, you know, make him, it kind of stopped the, you know, the darkening, but it didn't completely turn it around by any stretch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I was kind of like, oh, man. And he goes, well, I got a name. And I said, oh, really? What? He goes, No. I said, no, really, what? He goes, no. I said, what? My whole career is based on this moment. You know, so I thought. And he looked at me, he said, onions. I went, onions? Onions, the Scarecrow? And immediately I imagined like these like strands of pearl onions, like dreadlocks. I just imagined onions, the Scarecrow. And I went, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Yes. So that's really where Onions the Scarecrow was born. You know, flash forward many years later to Cursed Cornfield Comics, and it only seemed right that Onions would be our host, you know, stuck in the Cursed Cornfield.
Talk about a full circle moment.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, and if of course, I may.
On that album we did, there was a song, Onions Unleashed, and they wanted to spell it UNLEASHED, Unleashed. And I said, no, it's got to be O-N, like onion, unleashed. So they did change that. So that was good.
Awesome.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love that so much. If I may, if you need another character, my husband has been trying so hard to get a cow, anywhere, to name it Sirloin and give it a little bow tie.
Well, it would have to be a bull probably, unless it's a, you know, it's got a trans thing going on.
Listen, all I'm saying is that would make his entire life if he saw in a comic a sirloin.
That's wonderful. All right, well, keep it in mind.
So let's transition to Spider Mountain.
Well, again, thanks to those conventions, I think I was doing It might have been a Monsterpalooza here in Los Angeles in Burbank. I was sitting at my table signing autographs, saying hi to everybody. And this kid comes up and he's got a CD. And, you know, we were chatting and maybe he was a Corn Bugs fan or something. But somehow he handed me a CD. It was from a band called Stolen Babies. And this is a guy named Ronnie Sharone, R-A-N-I, Ronnie Sharone, who, by the way, whose twin brother, Gil Sharone, used to play drums for Marilyn Manson. So musical family, musical brothers. Ronnie shows up, gives me this CD. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of CDs over the years and I try to listen to them, but it's not always that good. But I listened to Stolen Babies and I thought, God, this is fantastic. And by then I hadn't heard from Buckethead in like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. Now, you know, he tends to, you know, you get with him and you make the music, but if you're expecting like to come back tomorrow and tweak something or do a second take, doesn't always work that way. So I hadn't heard from Buckethead for a couple of years. So I figured, well, okay, that ship has sailed. So I contacted Ronnie, I guess probably, you know, with email or something. And I said, hey man, you know, I dig this. I would love to make another, you know, another CD. And so he said, great, I'd love to do it too. So, I mean, that was basically how it started. Spider Mountain, I think we had come up with a couple of other names. There was, MySpace? Remember that? The old MySpace?
Oh, yeah.
And so I would come up with a name and then I would type it into MySpace and there'd be another band called that. So finally, I don't know where it came into my head, but somehow, some way, it just said, hey, how about on Spider Mountain? And I checked and it wasn't there. So that was kind of by default, like Spider Mountain. And so we cranked it out. We did it mostly at Ronnie's apartment because Ronnie is one of those, you know, techno guys. He's, you know, he has a lot of computer stuff and has all the music apps and things and a keyboard and plays a bass guitar. So he's a very multi-talented musician. And so I had some poems and some lyrics and things lying around. So we just slowly but surely cranked it out. We actually went out to really to record it at Travis Dickerson's recording studio in Chatsworth, California. Travis did a number of Buckethead CDs, I mean, and X, and you know, he's worked with a lot of great musicians. And so Travis, and that's where we recorded Buckethead and Pinch Face and I recorded, didn't do Skeleton Farm there. We did, Brain Circus and our last CD. So we went in one day and recorded 24 songs, which became two different albums, Brain Circus and Donkey Town. Donkey Town. Okay. So those two, and those are really, to me, those are my, you know, those are some of my favorite Corn Bugs CDs. But anyway, so Ronnie and I recorded it with Travis. And that was our first Spider Mountain CD. And it turned out great. It's so different because it sounds different because it's not Buckethead. So it's not, you know, a guitar virtuoso necessarily. But, you know, it's interesting because it's the first time that I ever really, worked on a song and recorded it maybe more than once. Because even with my brother's band, the Mosley Brothers, you know, it was all, you know, one time through and we had it on a little tape recorder and, you know, rewound it and said, that's cool. And with Buckethead, I don't think we ever did a second take of anything. So, but it was fun to actually compose and construct and, you know, if things didn't work out, you actually could go back and try another take of it. And then many years went by between that Spider Mountain album and then, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago during the pandemic, I just had an inspiration to, call up Ronnie and see what he was up to and suggest that we do another Spider Mountain album. So I would commute from my house like, yes, there it is. All right. Devil Rides West. I would do a long commute over to the other side of Los Angeles. And Ronnie, of course, had all the bells and whistles. So we recorded it in his bedroom, you know, or his music room. And You know, so obviously, like everything else, it's self-produced. But it's fun. I love that album. And it was really, for me also, it was about, you know, fight against the dying of the light with the COVID and everything shut down. It was like, ah, I'm going to make some music. So that's what you got there.
And that's all the time we had to speak with Bill Moseley. We'll see you again next Saturday right here on 92.5 FM, 1340 AM.